listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's first Friday, June 6th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna chi, shawa, tuxk nusum, salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can now also join us for a behind-the-scenes, in-the-studio look on our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/jpmlive or on KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, National Cancer Survivors Day, is this Sunday, June 8th, and Cancer Connection is here to share all the details on the event and how you can get involved. First Friday at Kindred Post features a new zine called To Palestine with Love from Southeast Alaska to support the rebuilding of a family's home. Juno Audubon Society is here to preview Saturday's bird walk out at Eagle Beach. And Alaska band Blackwater Railroad Company stops in before their tour stop at the Crystal Saloon tonight. And you can also tune in live at 4:30 over on our sister station, KXLL, for a live performance and interview with KXLL's Kelly Icardi. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear, including Gruden's deck boots and flip-flops, and extra tough boots for both men and women, located at the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages. I am joined in the studio now by Cheryl Weinberg, Cancer Connection Board President, and Ruth Johnson, who has the distinguishing mark of being a Cancer Connection board member since the beginning, it says in my notes. Gunath Chi, Shat Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here today. Wasiati, how are you?
Great.
Nice to see you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Boston. Nice to see you, too.
And how are you, Ruth?
Doing great.
Awesome. So is that a truth? Did I speak a truth that you have been with the board since the beginning of Cancer Connection?
Yes.
Wow. And when was that?
1997.
Yeah. So we're coming up on, this is 28th year, so yeah. 30 years soon. Wow, the time is just flying, isn't it?
I can't believe
it's 2025 even. But anyway, all these anniversaries are coming up for different things. There's been all these 50 anniversaries mm-hmm. for people recently, and Cancer Connection is going to be 30 in a couple years. That's pretty cool. Now, this event, Cheryl, tell me a little bit about National Cancer Survivors Day.
Okay, I'd be happy to. So it's, as it says, it's a national event, and typically it's the first Sunday in June. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating the second Sunday because most of our board members were out of town the first week in June. But we're not the only ones that pick a different day. And so it's a day where people gather in a variety of formats. You know, we have what we've done for the last several years that I'm sure we're going to talk about, the walk. But, you know, a whole variety of things going on. But basically, it's to recognize and celebrate life, and specific to cancer. So we're going to remember people who are possibly, who have passed away. Mm. People who are currently in treatment, people who have no evidence of disease and are really, celebrating. And we're doing that with not only the people who've experienced cancer, but people who love them, friends, and community members. All are welcome.
So it's really, this event is really open to anybody.
It is.
And I know you can Google or put in your favorite search engine, National Cancer Survivors Day, and the website for the National site will come up. And as Cheryl said, it was June 1st as the official day. But like you said, a lot of local groups do it on a different day. And you can find resources, because that's the other thing, too, is getting the word out about resources and how people could help or how people can learn more and really not feel alone. Right, Ruth? I mean, that's part of it, too, is to not feel alone in the journey of either having cancer or knowing somebody who has cancer.
That was the primary reason the organization was founded. Mike Miller, our founder, when he was flying out of town, that was the only option then. He thought, oh, my gosh, if I get through this, I don't want anybody to feel this alone again. So definitely primarily a support organization.
Yeah. And you all do some wonderful things. I know there's different things that you do. Can you remind folks about that, especially like that travel thing, helping people figure that out, right? That's a big one.
It is. It's huge. We provide travel reimbursement for people traveling into or out of Juneau for cancer treatment. We provide housing at our apartment in Seattle for prolonged stays for people who are down there for cancer treatment. We have a support group that's been going on since the beginning, and it's a very active and nurturing support group of individuals experiencing cancer, and sometimes their caregivers as well come along. And we provide educational opportunities through the Health Forum every fall. Last weekend in October, we haven't chosen a speaker yet this year, but
I'll see you back here for that, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes. And then our biggest event of the year is Beat the Odds, a race originally founded by Kathy Brissett, a cancer survivor herself, who wanted to help raise money to help cancer survivors also.
And that usually happens in August, right?
August 23rd.
August 23rd this year. Okay. That's great. And so this Sunday, it's a walk, right? This has been going on. How long have you been doing this walk?
You know, I was always afraid you're going to ask that question.
The tough questions here on Juneau Afternoon.
I should, in theory, be the historian for for organization, but it's been going on at least 20 years.
Wow, this walk.
I think since the national walk started.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Tish Satre, one of our former presidents, was like, when it started, oh, we need to do this. And we used to walk from the Baranoff Hotel. We'd have a lunch, and we'd walk up to the Capitol. And... yeah, and it's evolved over the years. You know, we did it at the Jack for a while, but the last few years it's felt pretty good and a little more celebratory to go downtown to Marine Park and walk to the Whale. There are great pictures of this event at the Whale. Ended up in a National Cancer Magazine one time.
Oh, nice.
Because we have such a lovely backdrop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful backdrop. It's a great place. And like Cheryl was saying, like, to celebrate life, right? To celebrate the victory, and also celebrate the lives of those that we've lost, you know, too. To remember them positively, and I'm just curious, like, is there any knowledge or information on, has it gotten better? Are we having less cancer, or more? Are more people surviving cancer because of technology?
I
know you're not doctors.
Not prepared with statistics, but for many, it's more of a long-term illness than
managed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has the care in Juneau gotten better? It feels like I've had the hospital on, and they have all new machines and different things that they're doing. And so are people being able to be seen here a little bit more than in the past?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Cheryl.
So Southeast Radiation Oncology Center is a remarkable asset for our community. And so people can receive radiation here in Juneau, most types of radiation, without leaving their home community.
That's huge.
Really remarkable. We have there's an oncology suite at the hospital where people can get chemo a lot of times. We have a group of gynecologic oncologists that are coming to town routinely.
Yes.
I believe they come every other week. We have, and I think this has been happening, but there's a visiting oncologist from Seattle that comes up. And I think there are more services all the time.
That's really great.
We have a patient navigator. What am I missing, Ruth?
No, I think you've got the Bartlett Oncology Center and Southeast Radiation Oncology.
Yeah.
Yeah, people can. My husband went through cancer treatment last year, and he was able to do everything but one test we had to fly down to Seattle for right here in Juneau.
Oh, that's so good.
And I know that Search, too, is trying to expand their services for cancer patients throughout the region. And
that's fantastic, because the more we can get it local, the better, I think. Because even having to travel when you have cancer would not be that fun. This event is a wonderful, happy event to celebrate life. It's National Cancer Survivors Day. It's a walk that's happening this Sunday at 11 a.m. And you'll gather at Marine Park, and then you're going to walk to the whale. Okay. And I see here also the promise of music, food, and fun. So what does that all involve?
Well, the music, people can sing as they walk. That's always personal. But once we hit the boardwalk on the way to the whale, then we're going to have bagpipers that will accompany us with a drum. And then once we get people have the opportunity, if they want to ring a bell as they enter Whale Park. And then we're going to have dancers. And then we're going to have a barbecue.
A barbecue?
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
And it's Sunday and it starts at 11, so if people want to be involved, and like you said, it's for those who are battling cancer, those who are supporting those who have cancer, and or community members who just want to celebrate life with you all, right?
Right. And one thing I want to say, because I talked to a woman who said, who's in treatment right now, I don't think I can walk that far. And that's okay. You know, I will probably be at the whale. There will be people there at the whale at probably by 11:20.
So you don't have to do the walk. You could just meet if you don't have the strength or whatnot.
Right.
You can just meet at the whale.
Right.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's
might
good
be
knowledge
a little
to
easier.
Have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. And I'm just curious, like, how did you both get involved in Cancer Connection, or why are you on the board? I'll start with you, Ruth, because you're the OG, as they say.
Yes, she is.
Well, my son was on the swim team, and it was his coach, Mike Miller, who was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of prostate cancer when he was only 42. Mm. And so, I was the meet director. I was on the board. I was a banker. Everybody wants a banker on their board in those days.
And how do we do finances, Ruth?
So that's why I got on the board. But mostly, I think I'm one of the only board members who hasn't actually experienced cancer diagnosis myself. But my mother had 5 primary cancer diagnoses.
Oh, wow.
So I was a cancer supporter from a very young age. And I was really close friends with Mike, my son's coach, because of my parent volunteer time with the team. Mike was an amazing man. I'm sure there's people out there listening to me now who haven't forgotten. He lived 20 years after his diagnosis.
Wow.
Yeah. He ultimately had to move south. But anyway, that's my story. I've been a cancer caregiver and supporter, since I was like junior high school. My mom got her first diagnosis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good for you. I love that. And what about you, Cheryl?
Well, why I'm on the board is, I have a strong family history of cancer, and so I've been monitored for years since I was in my 20s because of the constellation. And then I finally got the diagnosis 12 years ago. And I went through treatment, and I was able to get some support from Cancer Connection, emotional support, some travel assistance. And I was working full-time at the time. And when I retired in 2021, I knew that I wanted to be on one board. And because of the people I knew on the board and some kind of tangential activity I had been involved with the board, I approached them and they had an opening. And so they picked me and I picked them, and it's been a great fit.
That's fantastic. Well, it's wonderful community service that Cancer Connection does. You can find out more at cancerconnectionak.org for the local organization here. And of course, it's National Cancer Survivor Day that they're celebrating this Sunday, June 8th, at Marine Park at 11 a.m. Or show up at the whale 20 minutes later if you can't do the walk for some music, food, and fun, and a celebration of life.
Awesome.
Cheryl Weinberg, Ruth Johnson, thank you so much for being here today. Gunnith Cheesh.
Thank you.
Really
Bob.
Appreciate
you.
Okay, now this week's edition of the Thlinkit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinok John Martin. And the word this week is Shaw.
Shaw.
That means mountain. And here is a sentence.
Kunnach atxiti yasingit ya uchja new city yashang.
It's really something. For the Tlingit, the mountains are a wind fortress. Let's hear it again.
Sha.
Mountain. Gunas Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Takdain Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
She's not a face. He tends his coop and loves you, so you'd better be amazed.
I'm amazed.
That's a little rooster from Blackwater Railroad Company. They'll be on the show a little bit later today. And you can also tune in at 4:30 on KXLL, our sister station, to hear an interview with Kelly Arcardi. And they'll play a little something live on KXLL as well this afternoon. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from listener-supported public media station KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It's First Friday, and you can find all the events going on starting in just about an hour or so over at the JAHC.org website. Their First Friday page has all the events listed. And one of the events is down at Kindred Post on Franklin Street. It's the launch of a new zine, as the kids say. It's a zine. It's called To Palestine with Love from Southeast Alaska. And I'm joined now by Sonia Kumar. Thank you, Sonia. It's a pleasure to see you. Wasiiti. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me on here today.
Of course. So I have a picture of, I think it might be the cover of the zine. Yeah, it says To Palestine with Love. There's a little dog on it. With a little bandana wrapped around, which is kind of cool. And this event is happening at Kindred Post downtown on Franklin Street. It starts at 4:30. So you're here for just a few minutes before you got to run and go get set up. Yeah. So what's going to be happening down at Kindred Post this afternoon?
So basically, I'm with a group called Juneau for Palestine, and we reached out, or we had an open submission for people in Southeast Alaska, actually anywhere in Alaska, really, to submit things to our zine. We were following in the steps of Anchorage for Palestine, who had a very successful zine release either earlier this year at the end of last year. And we have been in touch with a family in Gaza, and we just want to do everything we can to try to fundraise for them. So 100% of these proceeds are going to this family in Gaza. The woman we've been in contact with, her name is Mayar Abu Dalfa.
Mayar Abu Dalfa, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, Kindred Post was kind enough to let us do a zine launch party at their storefront today. So we'll be there. We'll be selling zines. We'll also have zines for sale there after today. And we will also have zines for sale at Alaska Robotics after today as well.
And as you said, 100% of the proceeds of this will go directly to this family?
Yes, going to directly to this family. We have a fundraiser up. It's on a chuffed.com website. We will have QR codes out as well, and if you follow us on social media, it's one of the links in our bio. And both Kindred Post and Alaska Robotics have been so generous, and neither are taking any cuts from the zine from zine sales. So truly, 100% of all proceeds will be going to this family.
And how did you get in touch with this family?
Again, one of the Anchorage for Palestine folks has been in touch with Mayar, we've just been following their journey. And I mean, Alaska is such a big state, but, you know, a lot of people know each other, and it just feels like maybe this is the family that we as Alaskans can support in the capacity that we can.
Yeah, it's really nice to see the support of, you know, a particular family so that you're able to, and you've been in touch with them. I know you have some texts you're going to share with us here in a second, but so the proceeds will get directly to them as they sort of rebuild their family home, right? Is that what they have to do?
Yeah, basically they've had to be relocated multiple times we've been getting text messages about the price of food. So, for instance, this is from Mayar. She said, the prices are abnormal. With the lack of food, our bodies need a little sugar to provide us with energy. We buy a kilo of sugar, enough for 2 days, for $100. Before the war, it was just a dollar. And so we're selling our zines for $15. So if 6 2/3 of a person buy zines, we'll be able to help them out and get them a kilo of sugar.
Right.
But also something that she noted was, today is Eid al-Adha for us. There is no Eid. On holidays, we make date mamoul, serve sweets, buy new clothes, and do many other things that bring joy to our hearts. But the situation is also getting worse, and the famine is getting worse, and there has been a blockade on food getting into Gaza, so we really just hope that the money that we raise, Mayar and her family have a fighting chance to even get some of the few supplies that are even able to get in.
And I'm just curious how it works. Well, how will you get the money to her?
So basically, this is something that I'm not that familiar with, but
yeah.
The Chuffed fundraiser is attached to one of our friends' accounts, and they are directly sending it to Mayar through, like, I think their
bank wire or something like that. Okay, yeah. Because I know the infrastructure, you know, is pretty devastating. So I'm just thinking, you know, but at least it sounds like at least you can get a text. So maybe cell phones are able to communicate and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that, you know, people from afar can help in this modern age, right? This modern age of technology that we're able to pinpoint one specific family to be able to help rebuild, which is fantastic. Now, I also know, didn't I see that Mayar contributed something for the zine itself?
Yeah, she did. So if you do get our zine, it's the first entry. It's called The Land That Forgot My Name. Can I maybe just read the first? Okay. So The Land That Forgot My Name. I was born where the sea kissed the sand, where jasmine grew in my mother's hand. Now the streets I knew are graveyard dust, and every wall is cracked with rust. 10 lights I loved have gone away, swallowed whole by war's cruel day. My cousin bled where no one came. The dogs arrived. God speak her name. My grandfather's voice is a ghost in the air. I reach for him, but he's not there. Each memory I carried, each door, each tree, all burned behind me as I flee. This isn't life. It's breath and fear. A quiet death that draws too near. Children sleep with only pain, their dreams dissolved in fire and rain. Each morning, I open my eyes to die and beg the sky for one more lie, that this is just a shadowed dream, not the end of all I've been. I write these words, but I still can't breathe. My uncle's family lies deep beneath. His boys sleep in buried stone, and still the world just marches on. I carry hunger, loss, and flame, while calling out each missing name. No aid, no light, just dust and cries, and I am forced to live while Gaza dies.
Wow. And I know that you, I think that when I was looking into this, like many of her family members have passed,
yes.
Been killed. And how many are in her family currently? Do you know?
I don't know that. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. I think it's on the CHUF page. I think it's listed on there in terms of that. And how do you find more information? I guess the best place is to go is to follow you all on social media, and then the links will be available. So how do we follow you?
So we are on Instagram as Juno for Palestine.
Okay.
And I believe that is also just the name of our Facebook page.
Okay, great. So you can follow for more information and find links. And if you want to help out, you can also stop by on your travels tonight and this afternoon during First Friday, which begins literally in about an hour. Sonia and pals will be down at Kindred Post launching this new zine called To Palestine with Love from Southeast Alaska to help support one specific family, Mayar Abu Dalfa, I think I said that right, and 100% of the proceeds from the zine will go directly to Mayar and her family. And if you can't make it down today, you can still find it at Kindred Post and Alaska Robotics over time, right?
And we will also eventually have some online sales. But I also want to mention, I mean, we have so many amazing artists and writers showcased in this scene, primarily from Juneau. We have one entry from Anchorage, one from Sitka. And these are probably people that you know, and it's really amazing to like.
Is it writing, or is it also like images and things like that?
So there's poetry. Mm-hmm. There are one of our members also designed a designed a sweatshirt that we are hopefully will be auctioning off at some point as well to raise more money. But illustrations, all sorts of things.
That's awesome. Yeah, you can find out. You'll probably see some local names in there to help support. Sonia, thank you so much, Kenneth Cheese, for coming in and telling us all about it. It's First Friday, To Palestine with Love from Southeast Alaska, the new zine.
Yeah, thanks so much, Boston.
Absolutely. Kenneth Cheese for being here today. Okay, up next, we'll talk with the Juneau Audubon Society about their bird walk happening tomorrow. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
This is Bird Note. The northern Perula is a tiny bird with a big personality. Weighing barely more than a nickel, these North American warblers spend their days in search of tasty insects high up in the forest canopy. The northern Perula has a bright yellow throat and white belly. Their upper parts are slate gray, except for an olive-green patch that sits between their wings like a backpack. Males also sport a handsome chestnut-colored breastband. To get a good look at this varicolored wonder, first try listening for their unmistakable vocal feats. Like this upward trill, ending with a punchy note, a bit like pulling a zipper. Or a repeating series of boisterous, buzzy phrases. During the breeding season, males belt out these songs to find a mate and defend territory in the forests of the eastern U.S. and Canada. Meanwhile, females build small nests by hollowing out clumps of moss and lichen that hang up to 100 feet above the ground. After raising their young, northern Perulas head south to Mexico and the Caribbean for the winter, where they'll give their voices a bit of a rest till it's time to sing again in spring. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Today's show is sponsored by Gary and Liz Kennedy Ketchison, who are grateful to Bird Note for introducing us to wonderful stories about birds from around the world, like the beautiful northern Perula.
Thank you.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Summer is here, and you can get out and take a walk and spy some birds with the Juno Audubon Society. Walks are Saturdays in the AM, and you can find out more at junoaudubon.org. And I am joined now by...
Dietlif Büttner.
Dietlif Büttner.
Yes.
Büttner? Is that how you say it last?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Dietlif. Well, thank you so much for being here. Gunnith Cheesh, Brenda may be on her way from Juno Audubon Society, or she may have sent you on a solo mission, which is totally fine as well.
Yeah.
Gunnith Cheesh, for being here. I really appreciate it, Dietlif. So tell me a little bit about you and your time with birds.
I am a retired fishery biologist.
Okay.
And I decided after almost 50 years of working with fish and fishing and painting fish, all of that, to do something new.
Okay.
And I started exploring birds in my retirement and figured it's maybe a good time to start something completely new that I had no idea about.
Oh, wow. But now I'm curious about this because you dealt with fish your whole life. So... are birds that much different, or were you finding, are there similarities in terms of, you know, the amount of species or different kinds of habitats or things like that, that you were like, oh, this is totally different from what I've worked on?
Birds are way more difficult than fish. Fish are pretty easy.
Okay.
It's easy to identify a fish. Identifying a bird is way more a challenge.
Interesting. Why so?
I think it has to do with... first of all, you have males and females,
okay,
and they differ in looks. You have juvenile birds. You have different age classes. They look different sometimes depending on the age class. They may even vary by area.
Okay.
So they can be very tricky.
Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah. That's intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so tomorrow you're going to be out at Eagle Beach, and you are one of the leaders of this walk tomorrow. Tell me a little bit about the walk tomorrow.
It's a weekly walk, usually on Saturday. I haven't done too many of them myself, but I've offered to volunteer and lead the bird walk for the first time, I guess. It will be 2 hours long. It will start at 8 o'clock at Eagle River. And I think it should be a good walk because the tide is going to come in. I think it's good timing for a walk in the morning.
Good timing for a walk in the morning. And good timing is Brenda Wright, who's arriving in the studio right now. Yeah. Good to see you. Gunnith Cheesh, Brenda, thanks for showing up.
Nice to see you, too.
Appreciate it. I know I made you come in a little bit earlier, so I appreciate you getting here. So we're just talking about the walk tomorrow with Dietlif here in terms of times and place to be. And tomorrow, just to verify, it's at Eagle Beach. And where do we meet at, Brenda?
At the picnic area side.
At the picnic area side, and it's at 8 a.m., and you kind of have to be there at the start, right? Because then you start walking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But luckily at Eagle Beach, you can see us out in the distance.
So you could catch
easily.
Up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we were just talking to Dietlif about how he has gone from fish to birds and how much more difficult it is to identify birds. So that was a really fascinating chat. I really like that. And you, Brenda, sent me a picture. What am I looking at here that you sent me? You sent me a sparrow, I think. Was it the sparrow you sent me? Uh-oh. She doesn't remember.
I'm not sure which one it was now. It's not a swallow.
Right. No, it is. The Savannah sparrow.
The Savannah sparrow, yes.
Our summer resident, you called it.
Summer resident. Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Nice little yellow around the forehead.
Yeah, that's how you would... So how do you go about, like... classifying or recognizing the bird? Does it start with the head like that?
Yes, it's partly the size and where they are,
mm-hmm.
and their song. Because
oh.
we have a song ID now on Merlin ID, and so you can use your phone to record the bird songs, and it'll say, I'm hearing a Savannah sparrow, and shows you a picture.
Oh, and then you can... wow, technology is amazing. Has it helped you, Dietlif?
Oh,
you...
I use Merlin all the time. In fact, my hearing is not as good as it used to be.
Ah.
So Merlin helps me record it. And then when I play the recording back, I can often hear it on the app better than I can in nature.
Oh, that's so
interesting.
So if
it's a higher pitched sound, it's a little harder to hear for me sometimes. But I'm also not that good with IDing the songs all the time. It takes a while to get the hang of it.
Get the like the I guess the different tones, because some could sound similar, right?
And some I simply don't know what they are, or if I've learned the song, and they're migratory. They disappear over the winter. They come back in the spring. Then I have to learn all over again.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yep, me too.
It's always a learning process.
Yeah, it's so interesting, though. They're like, we have a junco that lives with us year-round. It starts singing in February.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time it's starting to nest, the next bird that sings almost the same song has arrived. And you go, I know that has to be an orange-crowned warbler because the junco's shut up.
Oh, interesting. That's so fascinating. Yeah, my grandma tried to get me into birding. She had the old Audubon, the big book, right? The thick book that she would walk around with. And she would point. I couldn't even see the bird where she was looking, you know? So I'm like, my vision's never been that great. But, and I love that Dietlif is volunteering to do this talk. So Juno Audubon Society, the volunteers really make up people who are helping out with the, is it an all-volunteer organization?
Yeah, our board's a volunteer. All the volunteers that lead our walks they're all volunteers. And if you want to come and join us and be a volunteer, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, and you can join the Audubon Society as well. You can find out all that information at junoaudubon.org. It also has the list of events. And these walks, Brenda, they're happening every Saturday from now until when?
The end of June.
The end of June. That's what I've been saying. That's what I thought.
The 21st.
Okay.
It's partly because the birds that migrate here are busy nesting and quiet, and so we're not as easy to see. And some of the very small birds are smaller than the leaves of our trees and are very hard to see then, too. But it's extremely fun, especially with somebody like Dietlif, to go and see the young birds.
Yeah.
You know, the ducks and the other young birds just learning to fly.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So what are you expecting to maybe see tomorrow, Dietlif?
I think a lot of the migratory shorebirds have already gone through. And we're not going to see that many, but we can still see some. I would expect to see possibly some loons. There are ducks out there, surf scoters, scoter types. Probably we might see some godwits maybe, or dowitzers.
Mm.
And if we walk along the hedges, we're going to see some warblers probably, or hear them, flycatchers maybe, and other songbirds.
So a lot, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. There should still be a lot. It's especially good for songbirds, I would say, right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you get to hear a lot of the good singing, which is always fun. And somebody else is leading with you tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
Brenda, right?
Yeah, it's Kari Marnagel.
Okay.
She's also helping. We like to have, in case we have more than 10 people to show up, to have two leaders so that we can be sure and share all the information we have.
Right. That's important, too. You got to be able to share everything that's going on.
I usually bring a scope with me. And so if it's a long distance seeing of a bird out on the ocean, other people can look through the scope and see it for themselves.
Oh, nice. That's helpful. I
can attach my phone to the scope and photograph through the scope.
Ooh.
So we can capture the image and make sure that the ID is correct.
Oh, that's so fascinating. You capture it on your phone,
mm-hmm.
and then are you able just to load that into the Merlin
exactly.
app? Is this Merlin app available for free?
Free.
Free? Yep. And you just get it on your phone, right?
Right.
At the App Store, Google Play, or whatever.
And there's a function where you can open up the photo section of the app, and you can just load a photo into the photo app. And Merlin will make a suggestion. Merlin isn't always right, but it helps in the ID.
It can
makes
get
a suggestion,
you.
And then you think about it a little bit, and often Merlin is pretty good, actually.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's awesome. It's the Bird Walks from Juno Audubon Society that happens tomorrow. It's at 8 a.m. You got to get up early. Get yourself out there for the start of the walk. It's out at Eagle Beach on the picnic side, Brenda said. They're also happening, if you can't make it tomorrow, they'll be next week and the week after.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. So a couple more Saturdays to be able to see some birds here in Juneau on some bird walking tours led by Dietlif. Are you leading next week too?
Or no.
Is it's different people. Oh, Brenda's leading next week.
Next week it's
well,
me.
We'll talk about that next Friday
yes,
when you come back.
I'm
good, Cheech, for coming in today. You can find out everything at Juno Audubon. Merlin.org, they have an events tab and information on the organization itself. Brenda Detlef, thank you so much. Gunnar Cheese for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Boston.
Okay, coming up next, we are going to chat with Blackwater Railroad Company, and you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
So-and-so's seeing red. Now my best to walk this ball, but I think it's soon a law on me call. He go back to the pen. This wager boy made to play the bull, wants my blade against his chin.
That right there is Blackwater Railroad Company, Raging Bull in the Barroom. That was my nickname in college. I have in the studio with me three of the band members right now. They'll be rocking the Crystal Saloon tonight at 9 p.m. as part of their statewide tour. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at kto.org. You can also join us in the stream, live stream in the studio here backstage on KTO's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages. And later today at 4:30, a little bit about a half hour after we end, you can hop over to KXLL. You can see Kelly Icardi right here. Oh, actually, well, I haven't turned the video on for the stream. There we go. Kelly Icardi is here with me, and she'll have the band in studio at 4:30 today with some live music, some new songs apparently, unplugged, some acoustic work that they're going to be doing for us today, and some deeper conversation. You can listen over at 100.7 or 101.7 or online at kto.org/KXLL. And so in the studio with me right now, I have Brandon Rollins, who's the saxophone vocals. Hi, Brandon. Good to see you.
So happy to be here, man.
Nice to see you. And then in the middle, I have Tyson Davis, guitar and vocals.
Oh, hey there.
Wasayiti, how are you?
Pretty good.
Awesome. And then over here on my right, I have Kyle
Camo,
thank you. You saw me. Look at that. Now they can see that on the stream.
I wanted to see you try.
I was going to try, but then I figured I didn't want to mess it up too badly.
Right.
And you're on the keys.
That's right.
Okay, awesome. Now, Blackwater, you've been on the show Juno Afternoon a couple times before. You recorded your album, that album that we were just listening to. You recorded that basically right here in Juneau.
All of it, yeah.
Downstairs.
Yeah, downstairs in KTOO with the fantastic producer, Justin Smith, Atticus Davis.
Oh, yeah.
He's done a bunch of fun albums here in Juneau for different local artists and now for artists from around the state as well.
Yeah.
And so are you all now based in Anchorage? I know it started in Seward, but are you based in Anchorage now mostly?
No, we're all in Seward still.
Still
well,
in Seward,
I mean,
okay.
Three-fifths of us. Our drummer and bass player live in Anchorage.
Okay.
They come down for rehearsals and stuff. And
I see.
So it all radiates out from Seward.
So, but you do a lot of gigs in Anchorage, right?
All
in the valley and everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this statewide tour that we're on, where are you going? I know you're actually going to one of my hometowns, Chickaloon. You're going to be partying in Chickaloon?
Oh, we're passing through, but we're going to Chicken Stock.
Oh, Chicken Stock.
Chicken.
Oh, maybe I read it wrong on the
website. No, we passed through Chickaloon
a few
times.
I was going to be like, there's not many people in Chickaloon.
That'd be a tough gig for sure, but hit us up, Chickaloon, if you want us there.
I mean,
we want to know.
I think King Mountain Lodge closed down many moons ago, but that would have been a place to have 10 or 15 people at, I guess.
Heck
but,
yeah.
So, all right, so what inspired this statewide tour that you're doing right now?
I mean, this is the work for us for sure. We're always trying to get basically anywhere with enough flat ground to set up all our stuff and play, especially in state. There's like so many beautiful places with lots of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, lots of things. Basically, this is full time for all of us. So,
yeah.
Getting around and seeing people and getting to different crowds and different places. And we're going to Canada in like a week.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
After Chicken, we're
Dawson
going to Sitka
City.
Tomorrow and. Dawson City and Whitehorse, and then we're doing Skagway to McCarthy to Valdez.
Oh my gosh.
So that'll be a run.
Cover some ground, man.
Yep.
That's some fun communities to be going to. You can find, of course, everything at blackwaterrailroad.com. And I want to go back to something that Braden just said about doing this full time, because that is the dream for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. What was that transition like from, you know, hustling to getting to the point where this could be what you do for a living?
It's hard because you're kind of like making that shift from like charging like a flat rate to like trying to lean into ticket sales, and like that mindset is a very different ball game. And you know, like you learn about fatigue and having to spread yourself out and like find different markets and all that. And it's a new world that we had to learn in like really quick. But so far it's been good to us, and Alaska has provided us the incubator that we needed to like test out a bunch of these things, and it seems to be getting us to a point where we're living off of it nowadays.
Do you have like a manager and all that kind of stuff? You three are the man. You guys are handling all the stuff.
Yep, every piece of merch you order at blackwaterrailroad.com is shipped out directly by us right out of Seward.
And we like the stamps.
We kind of joke like we're half a band and half an event production company. Like we put on a lot of our own events, especially in South Central, where we have all our gear, and we drive that stuff everywhere. And like we run our own festival in Hatcher Pass called Hatcher Rump.
July 11th and 12th.
Hatcher Rump?
Yeah.
July 11th and 12th.
That's our little music festival.
The Rain Dogs are coming.
Yeah, the Rain Dogs are going to be there.
Oh, that's so nice. That's really cool. So that's an interesting – okay, so then I want to ask this question because I was thinking about this, because I feel like over the last – I don't know. For me, anyway, my experience with Blackwater Railroad saw you come through Juneau, I don't know, a few years ago, I think it was. And it seems like the trajectory has just been, the line is going up for you all in terms of success, right? I mean, now making this transition to full time. And is the next step to get that manager and sort of start going outside of Alaska to other places?
It's an interesting balance. So like in the lower 48 or like booking places that we don't live, that definitely is a goal. But it's interesting here because not a lot of people know more stuff than we do about where to go and where to play.
Right.
And half the time it's a place that they don't know that they're a venue yet. We go there and we say, hey, we have everything. People will come to the show. Do you want to have a show? And they say yes. And then all of a sudden, things can happen in Alaska that in the lower 40, it's much more structured. All the gear is there. You can count on everything. But us, we have to check, like, is there running water?
Right. Yeah. I think of our local wonderful musician, Marion Call, who has toured around and done all that stuff in the States and done house tours and stuff. But what's different about that is that's a solo singer-songwriter, or maybe with one other person. But this is like, I think you described the music last time you were here, sort of like Americana folklore, but it's got like blues and rock, and it's got all that sort of fused in together. Yeah. And it's, what is it, five dudes, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of gear, that's a lot of people, that's a lot of noise, that's a lot of space. That is a little different than, let's say, you know, a singer-songwriter who's got a guitar.
We're having to rent our own spaces a lot of the times, and like we're learning how to pull permits to shut down streets, to like working with DNR to like get permits to do shows on like public lands. We've done all flying helicopters in to get porta potties to places. Like we've done all these like crazy logistics that you wouldn't ever think of doing anywhere else. But here it's just commonplace because. If you do some crazy stuff, usually some Alaskans will be like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah. Well, don't you think, I think too, like when you do get to the point of getting that manager or signing some kind of contract, you're going to have so much knowledge about the business side of things as opposed to a lot of people who enter into that who don't really understand the contracts or how it works. You're going to have some more, I guess, you know, advocating for yourselves in that way, which I think is kind of cool.
Definitely, like, looking for a really specific kind of relationship. And we do play in the lower 48. Like, we've been there twice for, like, two-week tours in the last year. We're going back in September.
And we actually did use a manager or a booking agent because we're going to Japan in October.
Oh, okay. Right.
And we don't know that scene quite as well, so we figured a third party.
On those areas, yeah, where to play.
So it's kind of like working with people in local areas that can help us get into markets that we are less familiar with is really useful. In the long run, we'd love to scale this up to have more friends that are involved and people that we can like pay their bills and stuff. But right now, we are so fortunate to be paying our own bills.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of like if we can keep doing this ourselves, I think we will.
It's the dream. Now, here's a question for you, Kyle.
Yeah.
If the manager comes to you and says, got to move to L.A.
Well, you're talking to the right guy. I'd be there in a flash. But I think the rest of the band wouldn't. I mean, if it was that legit, I think we'd have like a real discussion about it. But probably there would still be a lot of migrating. I feel like once you're in Alaska, you got one foot in Alaska for
because
forever.
Like, I mean, is Alaska sort of in your blood, right? Like, is it in your blood? I mean, some of you grew up here.
That'd be a hard sell for me.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, because you don't necessarily. So, like, finding the way to balance, like, having the career that you want bigger, getting bigger and bigger, but also then staying local, right? And managing those two, the yin and yang of that, I guess.
It's a big part of what we're doing here is not only, you know, being a band and like growing our thing, but also like on the community organizing and event organizing side, being able to like grow relationships where we can bring bands up here and like get them gigs around the state and like enrich communities, but also like, I don't know. It's a nice, I know for me, like I was never more inspired than being up here and seeing bands that I admire come up here and like play in an intimate space. So like having those kinds of interactions like fuels this scene to like it puts gasoline on the fire, so to speak.
That's so cool. They will be playing live on KXLL in about half an hour or so with Kelly Icardi, and you're going to be playing some new tunes that you're writing. That's going to be kind of cool. Tell me a little bit about the writing process. How does that work for y'all with five members of the band?
We kind of have, we do basically every approach you possibly could. There's some songs that's come fully written, and even they might have ideas of like what the other people will play. Like for instance, Tyson with one of these new ones we're gonna play, he kind of had the song and I think most of the words in place before we started. Oh no, actually, we'll have collaborative like lyrics writing sessions. A lot of times the music comes from like someone in themselves, and then we'll like add our parts to it And things like that. So usually it's not fully arranged or something like that. And then sometimes we're just like jamming and we come up with a cool groove and then we're like, that needs to be a song.
Right. And then you fit some lyrics to that and figure all that out.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Yep.
And then we spend a lot of time rehearsing afterwards. And that's kind of how we get the arrangements out of everything. Like in rehearsal time, we'll sit and be like, this needs to grow here. This needs to shrink here. And like adding and subtracting, that's a lot of our, especially in the winter and spring and fall, we're doing a ton of that.
That's awesome. Well, it's Blackwater Railroad. They're going to be at the Crystal Saloon tonight at 9 p.m. I have in here Braden, Tyson, and Kyle. The other two members of the band, Miguel and Ben, are sitting in the green room waiting to get in here and jam and warming up. And so they're going to be playing for you. Tune over to KXLL at around 4:30 today on 100.7 or 101.7 or online at kto.org/KXLL. You can listen online and catch them. We're going to listen to a little bit of this song that I mentioned earlier, which I just think is awesome. It is, whoop, hang on a second. That's the wrong button. We're going to listen to a little bit of Rock and Roll Man, which is off their album, It's a Lovely Place to Die. This is Blackwater Railroad Company. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Catch them at 4:30 on KXLL.
Coming out tonight, got the pocket to spin it right. Baby knows when to make the scene, when to order, when to leave. She says, I'm evil. Hazel eyes, wait around for my rock and roll man. Lines are drawn, hair upright, powder on my nose and I'm off like a bandit. Baby blues keeping out the light. Shadow, she's catching eyes. Every charmer takes their chance, shuts it down with a crooked glance. She says, I'm here for hazel eyes. Wait around for my rock and roll man. Lines are cast, morning light. Hopes are high, but they'll wake up stranded. Some need all by staying home. She likes to move towards the danger. There ain't nothing like getting lost by yourself with a stranger. Fresh tattoo of a lover's lies. Hiding the color of
that's a little Rock and Roll Man from Blackwater Railroad Company. Again, catch them in about a half an hour over on KXLL at 100.7 or 101.7 or online at kto.org/KXLL. That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives over on KTO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, have a fantastic weekend, everyone.